This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Kara Miller. There's an image that has plagued college students during the recession, the college grad with thousands of dollars in student loan debt, desperately struggling to find a job. So it makes you wonder, what's the value of a college degree? But new research from the Pew Center shows that this narrative might be a myth. College grads have fared much better in the recession than those without college degrees, something that Atlantic writer Jordan Weissman wrote about recently, and he joins me now. Jordan Weissman, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So let me ask you about this sort of well-known, very often cited Associated Press study of government data that was done not too long ago, and it really scared people. It basically said, look, maybe more than half of recent college grads are either unemployed or underemployed. What is wrong with that data in your view?
Well, yeah, it's I wrote about it when the AP first reported it, and it came from a Northeastern University professor who kind of crunched the numbers from the census and whatnot and BLS. And I kind of call it the biology major working as a barista myth. It's the idea that you went to school and you did the right things and you got good grades, and all of a sudden, you know, you're waiting tables or something just to pay off your student loan burden. And, the more you drill down into that particular statistic, the more kind of, I think, problems that sort of arise from it. And, you know, this is getting a little bit nerdy, but essentially the way it defines what what is underemployment, and the way it defines that is by looking at the way the Bureau of Labor Statistics defines jobs that are appropriate for a college grad. The problem is that those definitions are kind of out of date in a lot of ways, and a lot of jobs that sort of have gone through this process of what's called upskilling. They've gotten more technical and require more education to do, such as, you know, some kinds of police work, some kinds of salesmen who work in maybe the medical field. Or medical device field, those actually are college jobs, but in that study would have been considered high school level work. That was one of the indicators that may have been issues here. Meanwhile, Pew then went and did its own kind of breakdown of the numbers from the government, and using kind of a different set of definitions that were a little bit more updated, and kind of looking over this 10-year period of time from the beginning of the last decade, the kind of turn of the century up until kind of after the recession. And what they, you know, found was that things did deteriorate a bit for college grads, no question about it. Things aren't as sunny as they were right after the dot-com bubble, but it's also not nearly as dire as it was made out to be. And, you know, I mean, the rough estimate, you know, it's hard to actually break this down piece by piece from their number, but, you know, the rough estimate I was able to get to give you a sense of it is that pre-recession, about 43% of people who are college bachelor's degree holders under 25 had a college-level job. After the recession had ended, it was down to about 39%. Both before and after, about 26% of each of them had high school level, were doing high school level work. About 22% were in school immediately after getting back in school after getting their bachelor's degree before the recession. That went up to about 23% after the recession. And there was an uptick, about a 3 percentage point uptick in joblessness.
So the idea is it's moved by a few points, but you think not tremendously. It's not like the recession has completely thrown things off.
Exactly. And, you know, those numbers, a few points make a big difference, but it's, you know, a lot of this is also sort of cyclical, right? This is the kind of economy takes a downturn. This has not forever changed the value of a college degree. The problems that we're seeing now with college graduates aren't necessarily an indicator that, you know, that forever, from here on after, it's not necessarily worth it to go to school in the same way. And there's so much research that shows that, you know, college graduates make hundreds of thousands of dollars more over the course of a lifetime than someone with just a high school degree. Overall, unemployment is so much lower. Things like health outcomes are better. They're just one after another after another. And so I think that, there's sort of become this pervasive gloom about the value of college. And some of it's merited because, yes, it's getting more expensive today. Students have to borrow more than they did, you know, back 10, 15 years, or really are borrowing a lot more than they were 10, 15 years ago. And that is frustrating, and that is certainly going to be a burden going forward. But that doesn't mean that it's kind of it's I don't think the level of crisis talk that we've seen is necessarily appropriate.
Let me bring into the conversation Anthony Carnevale, the director of Georgetown Center on Education and the Workforce. And I wonder, what are you seeing? Are you seeing that the recession has not set back recent college grads all that much?
That's the right way to say it. The peak unemployment rate for college grads went up to 9.3%, but it's fallen for all college grads below 5%. And for recent college grads, it's down to about 7 or 8%. So, and in fact, through the recession, bachelor's degrees and graduate degree jobs never really did decline absolutely. Now, since the recovery, we've picked up about 2 million of those jobs, and there would be a good 8 million if we never had a recession. But college is the saving grace for people in economic hard times. Generally, the way recessions work is they hurt people from the bottom up, high school dropouts and whose unemployment rates went up above 25 and 26%.
Right.
And less for college. And in recoveries, the recovery occurs from the top down. So we've had an increase overall in 3 or 4 million college jobs since the recovery began.
So I want to come back to you on a couple of those points that you made, but I just want to let listeners know that we want to hear from you on this question of whether recent college grads are actually getting jobs. Have you recently graduated from college? Have you found work? Are you the parent of a recent grad? You can call us at 877-301-8970. That's 877-301-8970. And Anthony Carnevale, let me go back to you on that. I mean, you make this point that right now we're looking at recent grads. Their unemployment is 24% if they've got a high school diploma, 6.8% with a bachelor's degree. Have we seen during the recession an exacerbation of the gap between people who have degrees, bachelor's degrees, and people who do not?
Yes, we started to see that gap, which ran about 30% between college grads and high school graduates beginning in 1983 after the 80-81 recession. It rose up to 84% by 2002. It's fallen back very slightly to about 79%. But when you figure in the cost of health benefits, that is, if you consider health benefits part of your pay package, in fact, the college wage premium hasn't dropped at all.
Okay, so, but one of the interesting things you note in the report from Georgetown is that we're seeing fewer people go to college right now than we first did when the recession began. How do you explain that?
Every recession increases college enrollment. This one did too. College is a very sensible place to hide from bad times because you can go there and build more human capital and be ready when the recession ends. And we know in the last three recessions, the jobs that go away and don't come back are high school jobs. And more at the end of the recession, the jobs available will be college jobs. So, but at the end of every recession, when the jobs come back, we get a very precipitous fall in college attainment, which is too bad, especially for young men who we saw increase their college going during the recession, but they've fallen off substantially as the recovery, since the recovery began in 2010.
Jordan Weissman, I want to come back to you and let me remind listeners that we're talking about recent college grads and what they're doing in the job market now. Have you found a job, not found a job? You can call us at 877-301-8970. That's 877-301-8970. Jordan Weissman, I wonder what you're seeing in terms of what majors are working in this economy and what majors are not working as well in this economy. You mentioned being a biology major and a barista at the beginning. What are you seeing?
You know, I think Anthony actually has done some of the better work tracking a lot of that. But, you know, I think there's a lot of focus that gets paid to, you know, especially STEM majors, you know, finding people, getting people into the, quote, right major.
Right. Science, but, technology, engineering, math, right? STEM.
And, And there's some truth to that. You know, if you have training in the health fields or if you're an education major and whatnot, there's a damn good chance that you're going to get work once you get out of college. There's still demand in those areas. But for the most part, there's a lot of variation between it's really hard to pick which majors are absolutely the best, and sometimes it's really surprising. Some science majors really have as high unemployment rates as the humanities, and right out of school, just because, you know, they might take a little more post-grad training or whatnot. So in general, I think I guess just to speak broadly, saying that if we had more kids studying X instead of history, they might have less of a problem with unemployment. I'm not so sure there's a lot of truth to that. I'd like to hear Anthony's point of view as well.
Yeah, Anthony, let me take your shot. Have you take a shot at that, and then we can go to the phones. What are you seeing in terms of the better majors and the more difficult majors to find a job with?
It is true that the major shift in the relationship between college and labor market since the 80s, and a lot of it's been since the 80s, is that it matters a little bit less now what degree you get, whether it's an AA or a BA or a graduate degree. And what really matters, what will largely determine what you make, is what you take. So the differences in degrees are actually growing and growing very fast. So STEM is a high earner. The humanities, liberal arts, and the like are not so high. And in many cases, the signals are confusing. So engineering does quite well, with petroleum engineering in the lead, but civil engineering in rough shape because of the failure of financial markets, construction, and housing. Same with architects. It's a very solid technical degree, but the unemployment rate is still above 10% because of the failure of the housing markets.
So it really depends, even within a major, where you're going to take that, what kind of industry you're going to focus on really specifically.
Yes, and if your business majors do well in general, finance majors, finance people who emphasize finance and business do best. People who do business economics do second best. Then you follow it all the way down to the bottom, which is hospitality, which is one of the business major specialties, which is populated about 80% by females. And they do worse. They do a lot worse than the average business major.
And what are you seeing in terms of where in the country, I don't know if you've done any work on where in the country recent college grads are doing best and doing worst. I know the Associated Press had pegged the worst as the Mountain West and the best as Texas. And I'm wondering, are you seeing those numbers too?
Yes, the best, if you look at actual metropolitan economies, is Washington, D.C. It has the highest quality workforce as measured by educational content in the country. And places where there's less college demand tend to be places, in part because of the way the numbers work, where you have strong economies in extractive areas like gas and coal and oil, because you get relatively high-wage jobs for a one-year certificate or a two-year certificate, that plus health care in those economies allows the sub-baccalaureate jobs and occupations to compete pretty aggressively with BA or better jobs.
I'm Kara Miller. This is WGBH, and we're talking about the job market for recent college grads. We're taking your calls at 877-301-8970. And I want to go first to Tan in Boston. Tan, thanks for joining us. Tan, are
Hello?
You there? Hi. What's going on? What are you seeing out there?
Well, the name is Dan. Sorry.
Oh, no. Go right ahead, Dan.
Okay. What I'm seeing is the devil's in the details when you come to statistics and operational definitions. What about the increase of 5.8% of recent college graduates who tried to find jobs in this country, couldn't, and now had to get their first jobs overseas? That was a Washington Post study that showed that increase from 1.8% to 7.8% in the number of first jobs overseas in recent college graduates.
Okay, let me take that. Thank you very much, Dan. We're going to take that question to our guests here. Anthony Carnevale, are people having to go overseas to find better employment than they can find here in the U.S.?
They're not having to go overseas to find better employment. It's just that certain parts of the labor market have become truly global. We really now have in our economy a global professional class that is growing pretty fast, and it is where you'd expect it to be. It's in STEM, it's in management, it's in healthcare. Those people are really economic citizens of the world, not so much economic citizens of the United States. And that class of worker is growing almost across the board in all the high-wage, high-education occupations.
And Dan, are you still there?
Yes.
Do you know anybody who has actually left get something? Oh, tell us about it.
Both my son and my daughter. My daughter graduated 2 years ago. Spent 2 years with a very good degree in biology, great average, everything. Couldn't get any job other than bartender. And now she's in Paris and doing fantastic with a job that suits her. My son is a theoretical physicist, and he's unable to get even an internship in this country, but he's accepted over in Barcelona and going to be working at CERN. So I'm just saying it really is affecting even people who have the right credentials to enter opening jobs in this market in this country.
Dan, thanks very much for joining us. Jordan Weissman, let me go back to you on that, although Anthony may want to get in here. It's interesting that his son is a theoretical physicist. My sense, and I wonder if yours is too, is that for people who are in academia, there is some real trouble in trying to get jobs, you know, teaching in a university system, let's say.
Yes, to put it lightly. I was just reading something about essentially history PhDs recently, which there, you know, just a few thousand of them every year in the country, and there's maybe room for half of them in the various academic departments around the country. It's extremely hard to get kind of tenure track academic work these days, and that's a complaint you hear a lot when people bring up the value of STEM education. A lot of people will counter, "Oh, well, look at all the postdocs who are toiling away in labs for low wages." Still, when you look at the overall data, people with graduate degrees in general, STEM degrees in particular, they have such higher wages and such lower unemployment than the general population that it kind of makes it hard to believe that there's really a shortage of their talents out there or a shortage of demand for their talents. And, you know, when it comes to, say, again, people who study physics, you know, one of the fallback career for some of these people and, friends of mine included, is if it doesn't work out for them in academia, they go to Wall Street.
Yeah, exactly.
which is a little less so now because Wall Street's retrenching a bit. But when you have that level of math skills, usually there's someone out there who wants to hire you for a decent amount of money. It just might not be in the specific field you want. And my sense is that if your children were ready to go overseas in order to get work that they wanted, they had a very probably specific or very detailed sense of what they want to do with their lives, which is great. I can think of worse things than living in Paris and doing a dream job. But I think I would leave it at that.
Let me go to Anthony. I'm sure at Georgetown, you also have a sense of that academia, tough to break into even with a PhD.
Yes, higher education is a $380 billion industry, but it's oversubscribed with PhDs. That is, we've overproduced. In part, that's because our whole education system presumes that everybody becomes a professor. After all, when you take your first math course in grade school, the eventual trajectory of that is you take your last math course in college and become a mathematician. Our academic system is organized around academic discipline. So it's not surprising that we get a lot of students that go all the way to the goal line. It is one of the problems with our system that it produces more academic talent than it does applied talent.
We're talking about how college grads have been weathering the recession, whether they've been. If you are between 18 and 29, give us a call at 877-301-8970 to weigh in. Have you found a job? Are you a recent college grad? Or are you a parent of somebody 18 to 29? We're at 877-301-8970. We'll be right back, and we'll take more of your calls. I'm Kara Miller, and this is Boston Public Radio. This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Kara Miller, and I'm joined by the director of the Georgetown Center on Education and the Workforce, Anthony Carnevale, and Atlantic writer Jordan Weissman. We're talking about how college grads have fared in the recession. New research shows that they're a little better off than their non-degree peers. We are also taking your calls at 877-301-8970. What are you seeing out there? Have you found a job? Do you have a child that has found a job? 877-301-8970. Jordan Weissman, let me go back to you. I thought there was a very interesting study recently from Millennial Branding that shows that people are taking retail jobs. Recent grads are taking retail jobs in huge numbers, even if they do have a bachelor's degree. Do you worry that there's a tremendous amount of retail space that's gone unfilled, and that's where the jobs are, even if it's low paying?
I mean, do I worry about it? I mean, yeah, it's a concern when people are. It would be a big concern if a larger than ordinary fraction of students of college grads were really taking retail jobs. I do think that was one of the advantages of the Pew survey, again, that kind of showed that the level of the fraction of students who were fraction of graduates under the age of 25 who were taking these I guess gigs that didn't really require a college education had pretty much stayed level since much earlier in the decade. It's about the same as they were 10 years ago. But I think there's also another detail of that, which is for most people with a college degree, that's not permanent. One of the things that Pew showed was that people move from these low-level jobs into kind of career path type work fairly quickly if they have a degree. It feels awful when it's happening. It can be demoralizing. It makes for the stuff of really, really depressing New York Times trend pieces. but it's not, you know, the reality is it's not forever for most people, and especially once the economy clears up a little bit. And that's sort of the difference between your average college graduate and your average high school graduate, is that for people who only have a high school degree, that is forever.
Right, there's no mobility.
That work is what they are facing. Even for some people with associate's degrees who really don't study the right thing or just didn't really excel, sometimes that kind of gig part-time work is what's going to kind of become their career. And that's, you know, I don't mean to minimize the suffering that a lot of college graduates have gone through. And certainly the student debt issue is something we have to keep an eye on because, you know, for the reality is that for most graduates, it's still something they can handle. But the more that accumulates in the economy, the worse it becomes for the economy. The more Gen Y is loaded down with student debt, the less they can spend on things like cars and houses that really power growth.
Right.
And that's not good for anybody. These are real concerns. But I think that when we spend a lot of time, you know, educated, highly articulate people are also very articulate about what's depressing them. And it's very easy to focus on that to the exclusion of people who really are suffering in a more permanent and, I think, a more permanent way.
Let's hear from a couple callers. Mike from Fall River graduated in 2009, sort of at the height of the really bad economy. Mike, what do you see out there?
Honestly, I don't think it's that bad for people my age. I have a lot of friends still unemployed and working menial jobs, but all I see through various, you know, media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, is they all sit there and complain about it, but no one seems to want to get out there and work for it. So I just think people my age just need to work a little harder and get a good job.
But you feel like there are jobs for the people who are willing to go after them?
Oh, absolutely. I graduated with an English degree, which most people these days would say are you crazy? What are you going to do with that? And now I have an extremely well-paying job and working in the science community. So,
great. Mike, thank you very much for calling in.
No problem. Thank you.
Let's go to another caller, Alberto in Jamaica Plain. Alberto, what are you seeing?
What I see, I am a parent, and what I see is really terrible. It seems that young people have no guidance. In fact, are tricked, almost conspiratorially tricked, by universities, both state and private, but especially private, to have no idea of the net present value of their education, the possibility of what they're going to be able to earn in future value from a degree, and that our society is corrupted by these conspiratorial academics.
So, Alberto, does that mean that people do not know what is best to major in? Is that what you're thinking?
No, I think that's blaming the victim. I think that there is a lack of direction, not in the sense that individuals don't know what their major should be, so they switch in their sophomore year to a different college or something like that. No, this is much more systematic in its abuse of young people and their aspirations. And the worst offenders, of course, are parents who believe because their children want to do better things than I've done, their children are snuckered into and their parents support. And I'm guilty of this myself, support efforts at being a teacher when there's no way they're ever going to be able to pay their tuition, even though they received a large and a most generous tuition stipend.
Alberto from Jamaica Plain, thank you very much. Let me go to Anthony Carnevale. I mean, you hear there with those two callers, Mike and Alberto, two people who do talk about striving even maybe beyond the career or the major that they that you might think, oh, well, this is a clear path to making a lot of money.
The gentleman is right, I'm afraid, and that is most young people, about 70% now, say that the reason they go to college, or the primary reason, is so that they can have a middle class career. What they're telling us, and I say us as a professor at Georgetown, what they're telling us is that they understand that while the purpose of college, certainly in a broader sense, is to allow people to live fully in their time, it's very hard to live fully in your time if you're living under a bridge. So this is news to the college community. It's essentially a change in the economy that began around 1983, such that now some form of post-secondary education and training is required to join the middle class, but not any form. That is, there are vast differences such that what you take will really determine what you make.
I want to go back to the phones. We're taking your calls, 877-301-8970. Are you a recent college grad, a parent of a college grad? What's your experience like trying to get a job and hold it? We're going to go to Patty in Franklin, who has a master's. Patty, thanks for joining us.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. I just want to talk about how I actually graduated in May 2012 with my master's degree in English. And I'm currently losing three different jobs at community colleges, not only to support myself, but just to pay off my student loan debt. And I just want to talk about how kind of, you know, you can't do that forever. I mean, I was talking with my my former advisor from undergraduate, and I told him, what am I going to be doing in 5 years? It's not just that I have a job right now, which I'm very thankful for, by the way, but it's just that how sustainable is this?
And Patty, you're teaching in English in community college. Okay.
I am teaching English and college transition courses at a community college, as well as tutoring at a community college and another school in the area.
Patty, thanks for joining us. Jordan Weissman, I'll go back to you. You know, I have to say, as somebody myself who has a PhD in English, this what Patty is saying is so close to the stories that I've heard from so many people of, right, trying to break into academia, but it's so hard to do. So you end up doing adjunct work at many, many different places. And you know, I don't know exactly where to place this in the unemployment or the underemployment picture, but what's your view?
I mean, I think there are, like I said, you know, my mom worked as an adjunct for very long, for about 10 years, mm-hmm. kind of doing the hustle where you're teaching class to class and dealing with contracts and what. So I totally understand that, I feel where you're coming from on the on what you're talking about and the stress involved. I think there are a couple particular graduate fields of study, unfortunately, right now that both are kind of troubled career paths, and also kind of lend themselves again to people who are very, very vocal, even though their experience doesn't necessarily represent what everyone is going through who went to graduate school. One of them, I think, are people who want to go into academia, frankly. Another are lawyers. Law as a profession is in a lot of trouble right now, and law students, for the most part, didn't really fully come to grips with that until it was a little bit too late. This most recent generation of law students didn't come to grips with that until it was too late. Partly, I think a lot of people would argue, because of the way law schools kind of essentially marketed themselves and almost kind of fudged their numbers in some instances. But you hear these stories of people who went and got a graduate degree, which is supposed to absolutely, if you just look at the really broad statistics, be some sort of a guarantee of employment. You know, I think the unemployment rate is around 2 point something. Anthony, correct me if I'm wrong, for people who are beyond a bachelor's. But it can be, if you're not really careful and really thoughtful about exactly what you're going to do with it and what your path is after you get your fairly expensive diploma, it might not be a good investment. It takes a lot of forethought and a lot of very careful forethought about your realistic odds.
Yeah, and Anthony Carnevale from Georgetown, it does feel, as Jordan Weissman says, that there are these pockets like academia, and we've done segments on law school, and it is really tough coming out of law school to try to find a job in this market.
It is, in the end, one of the harsh realities is that, for the most part, that's true, that the unemployment rates for people with graduate degrees are somewhere around 3%, that is, people work, but the expectation for full-time work, job security, decent wages is really, especially in the academic fields, is really very disappointing. The world is supposed to work such that if you love learning and you love work, that they'll love you back, but if you're going to be an English professor, that's not true.
Yeah. Let me go to one more call here. Emily from Woonsocket, Rhode Island, a musician. Emily, what do you see in the music world?
I see that there are some positions available. I hold four contracted positions where I'm hired like on an as-needed basis, but they guarantee me so many gigs throughout the year. So that's some kind of sense of stability, but still not enough to pay my student loans. It's still not enough to buy a house. So my husband and I are faced with the decision of maybe picking up and starting new somewhere else because New England, I feel, is even harder than elsewhere in the country where I have friends and classmates.
Emily, thanks very much. Let me go back to Anthony Carnevale on that. How would you situate New England in terms of the picture of young people getting jobs? And then I also wonder about women versus men, because we talked about the Pew study that showed that actually things are not quite as bad for recent grads as we thought. But when you look at the people in the Pew study, 59% of them, of the grads, are women. That seems to skew heavily female. So what do you see in terms of both location and gender?
New England is a bachelor's degree and graduate degree economy. It tends to produce actually not quite as many BAs and graduate degrees in a lot of fields that it needs to, but where it is decidedly weak is at the sub-baccalaureate level, AAs, certificates, industry-based certifications. New England is very traditional, so that the rise of community colleges, certificates, industry-based certifications is much more difficult there. If you go to Florida, you can go to a two-year college and get a BA. That is unthinkable in New England because Harvard's the model. The other piece of this that is very striking in the data is that while women are getting more college than men now, they are in the wrong fields. That is, they are not in STEM. They are not so much in business. And when they are, they're in hospitality, which is the least paying business degree. And even though they've broken through in biology, women seem to be attracted to anything that is complicated and alive. There is a breakthrough there, but they end up being high school teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Much the same with math. Women are now 42% of math majors, but they don't turn math into high wages the way men do.
And is there a gap also between whites and minorities that we're seeing in terms of college graduation rates and also finding jobs?
Yes, we're seeing improvements in college going among Hispanics and African Americans, and certainly among Asians who are outperforming whites in college and in the labor market now. But we see increased college access. But the issue for minorities, especially blacks and Hispanics, is that they are concentrated in the two-year colleges and the open admission four-year schools, where the graduation rates don't ever get much above 40%. Whereas if you go to a school in the top 400 four-year schools, the graduation rate is 85%. So the problem for minorities is that the American higher education system is turning into a highly stratified, even polarized system, with black and brown at the bottom, and really the denouement to the white flight from the cities in the 50s is now arrived on our college campuses, and more in the more selective schools are whiter and richer.
And that fascinating, and it feels like the launching point for another segment. Anthony Carnevale, the director of Georgetown's Center on Education and the Workforce, and Jordan Weissman, an associate editor for The Atlantic. Thanks to both of you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. And Edgar Herwick is back in the studio. Hey, what's going on,
Kara? Well, have a listen here to this music that's playing right here. We were just talking with a musician locally here. This is a musician who we're going to be talking with in just a second. Let's listen a second.
Okay.
Pretty good, right?
Pretty good. Is he going to be doing any singing?
He's going to sing live. All
right.
This guy's from Ireland. He's a top 10 artist in Ireland, but he's not really that well known here yet. We're going to learn about him. Mick Flannery.
I look forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm Kara Miller.
I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, and you're listening to Boston Public Radio.
I seen you last night, you falling round the town. It ain't that hard to find some reason for you.